This morning, I want to talk about faith. And the passage I just shared, there's tons to it. And if I had all week with you, maybe we could go there. But I want to talk to you about faith. And I came up with a really tricky title to this sermon. It's called Faith. And it's very profound. And usually when I read this passage, I see other things. But as I was reading it this time, faith really, really jumped forward. And this is a guy by the name of the Apostle Paul. He's the most famous of the people that we know of the New Testament. One of them, because he wrote most of the New Testament. He was a guy who traveled all over and told all kinds of people about the good news about Jesus. He was fearless, unashamed of the gospel. Everywhere he went, he was looking forward to share the truth of Jesus, regardless of what the opposition was. He's one of those people, you look at his life, you'll be like, I feel like I'm like this, because he has so much courage when it comes to the Lord. He's not afraid, and he just goes. He follows Jesus wherever he goes, telling people about Jesus. And he is writing to a group in Rome, okay? He hasn't been to Rome. And one of the things that's interesting is sometimes you read the Bible and it feels like it's out here. But this was Paul writing to the church in Rome. These are actual people living real lives. I mean, these are people who have jobs, who had families. They lived in Rome, and that's where they did their life. And there was a church that was established in Rome, and he's writing to them. So these are real people, okay? This isn't just hypothetical truth. This was real people that Paul is talking about. So you have to put yourself there. This really happened. And sometimes I think it's easy to talk about the Bible out here, but this was real, okay? And he starts, and the book of Romans is going to be this unbelievable amount of truth that Paul just jam-packs. I mean, it's probably the richest, the thickest book in the Bible in terms of like the amount of spiritual meat. Like, it's deep. And before he gets started, I want to see how he just delves into him. So this was written to Rome, the church in Rome. And I want you to know that this was about 26 years after the church got started. So Jesus died on the cross, paid for our sin, was ascended into heaven. And he said, wait. And then the Holy Spirit came and Pentecost happened. And all of a sudden, people began to receive the Lord and respond to his message of grace. And the church started. And 3,000 people got saved. And it said that during that time, that there's actually people from Rome that was part of that group. So we don't know how this church in Rome got started. The Apostle Paul hadn't even been there. He ended up dying in Rome, but he hadn't even been there. But Paul's saying that he's heard about this church. So we think, commentaries think that that's where the church of Rome got started, at Pentecost. There's people from Rome there in Jerusalem worshiping God, and they responded in faith to the message of Jesus, and they went back to Rome, and guess what they did? They started a church. They started worshiping Jesus. They started learning about God and giving and surrendering their lives to him. And they started telling other people about who Jesus was. And guess what? The church grew. And the church didn't just grow in numbers, but it grew in reputation. Isn't that awesome? It wasn't just that there was a church there. It was a church that had a reputation. And this passage says that the reputation that it had was that it had faith. It had faith. Paul says, I've heard about your faith. The whole world knows about your faith. Isn't that crazy? Now, Paul's talking about the Roman world at that time, okay? So we're not talking about Australia or anything like that right now. Like, he's talking about the whole Roman world knows about your faith. Now, the thing about that is that Rome was the hub. It said all roads lead to Rome, you know? So anything that happened in Rome, like, word got out. And the word got out that there was a group of people called Christians, and they were so radical in their faith that their society was changing because of their faith. And you know what is crazy is that in AD 49, When was this written? This was 56. So this was 7 years prior to when the book of Romans was written. The emperor at that time actually kicked the Jews out of Rome because they were having so much influence for Christ that the emperor was like, no more, get out of here. I don't like what's going on. There's too much Jesus happening here. So he actually kicked the Jews out of Rome and said, you can't be here anymore. So when Paul's writing this book, there had been years and years of incredible influence for Jesus. People were radically living out the faith that they had in Jesus. Isn't that awesome? I hope we're like that. I'm going to ask this a couple times, but one of the questions I was wondering about this is, how far is your faith known? You know, the church in Rome, their faith was known throughout the world. And one thing I was thinking about is like, does anyone know my faith? Does anyone see my faith? Is anyone influenced? Is there any reputation of faith in my life? And if so, how far? Is it a secret where one person knows, or is it known? That woman, that man, they believe. I see it. I see it. It's on display. How far is your faith known? So Paul's talking to them, and before he gets started in the book of Romans, which is so rich, he first talks about their faith. I was thinking, what is faith? Hebrews 11 says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things unseen. It's this confidence and trust that we have in Jesus, that he is who he says he is. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him, but through Jesus. And it's trust in that. And I always get the picture of like, you are leaning full in on Jesus. See, faith isn't just this acknowledgement of, yeah, I believe that, that's true. Faith is like, I believe that, that's true, and I will lean in on that. It's kind of like the picture I get is when my kids would be on the side of the pool, and I'm saying, jump, baby, I will catch you. And, you know, like they could say, I believe daddy will catch me, and just sit there, you know, and stare at me. I'm like, I'll catch you, jump. Faith is when you jump. It's not enough to say, oh yeah, I believe my daddy will catch me. Faith is actually jumping. It's trusting in the Lord with all of your heart. It's leaning not on your own understanding. It's acknowledging him because there's this belief that he will make your path straight. He'll actually come through. It's actually, last night I was thinking about this. The thing that I thought of is faith is this. He'll catch you. That's what faith is. He'll catch you. I'm going to trust God with my whole life. And do you know what? He's going to catch me. I'm going to believe that he's going to take care of my sin, that his payment was sufficient for all of my wrongdoings. And do you know what? He's going to catch me. When I die at the end of my life, I know he's going to catch me. You know, he's faithful. Paul says in another portion of scripture, he says, I know whom I have believed. I know him, and I know that he's faithful and just. I'm going to botch that verse. I got halfway through. I was like, oh, I don't. Paul says, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day that which he has entrusted to me. That's what faith is. He's going to catch me. And when all is said and done, when my life is over, he's going to catch me. Everything that I've given my life to God, he's going to catch me. You know, back to that idea of kids jumping. You know, our Father catches us every time. There's never a time when the Father says, jump. And they just watch the kid drop. That bites. Swim, baby, swim. That, That's not our Father. Our Father catches us every time. Amen. That's what we're talking about. See, faith isn't blind. There's no such thing as blind faith. We have faith in who God is and what He says because He catches us every time. His promises are true. It's not like they usually are true. We hope most of the time. All the promises of God are yes and amen. So His promises are true, and God is faithful. He never drops you. If you trust Him, if you respond in obedience, He says jumps, He will always catch you. Always. You know, I remember this time in my life where I knew that God was calling me out of this one job I had. And I know He said to leave. I knew that. I knew we were supposed to leave. And at that time, I had two little kids, and my wife wasn't working, and I was going to move into not working either. So, and there, this was when the economy was really bad, and there was nothing. And I just knew that I was supposed to go. So in obedience, I said, okay, Lord. It was kind of like this. It was like He was saying, trust me, have faith in me, and obey. And I was like, okay. So I left my job in obedience. And we had just a little bit of money in the bank, but not enough to get us far at all. And it was just like, okay, Lord, You said to go. Okay, You said that You're going to provide to me. Okay, let's see how this rolls out. And it was a crazy time in life. And truth be told, I forget most of it. Because God provided for my needs so often that it almost became normal. What? Because you have faith. You jump when He says, and you trust that He'll catch you. And that's what salvation is. Give your life to Me. Receive the payment of the cross for your sins and just jump. Don't stand on the side and say, I believe that's true. No, surrender your life. We sang about that this morning. One of my favorite stories during that time of unemployment and like we ate, we didn't go hungry, and all of our bills were paid. It was miraculous, unbelievable. But one of my favorite stories during that time was I was reading in the Word and I was seeing again and again that God can change everything in a day. That's what I was reading. Everywhere I went, I was like, God can change everything in a day. And that was what was in my heart. God can change everything in a day. And we were leaning towards the end of the month and we had zero money in our bank account. We had nothing. And the job I had was 6-8 hours a week, maybe minimum wage, like, you can't support a family on that. Just saying. I don't know if you're doing the math or not, but it's not enough to support a family and pay for rent and insurance and food. Food? It's not enough to feed a family. Yeah, yeah. I was just like, what in the world are we going to do? But I kept reading, God can change everything in a day. So I was like, okay, Lord, You said You're my provider, and You said You can change everything in a day. Okay, Lord, not know how this is going to play out. So this was a Sunday, okay? My parents don't have a lot of money. They were missionaries. But they came up to me and they said, we want to give you some money. I said, oh, that's awesome. Thank you. $1,200. I was like, oh, like $20 for my mom and dad was a gift from God. You know, like... crazy, $1,200. I was like, are you kidding? Like, I did not tell them what my bank account was. Like, they had no idea. And they gave us $1,200, and it was something that they both agreed to apart from each other, and they talked, and they said, $1,200. I was like, thank you. That pays for rent, but we have no food all month long. You know what I mean? Like, that was part of it. So I was like, okay. And then a few hours later, I got a call from work, my part-time job, and they said, we've chosen you to work the whole next month, 40-plus hours guaranteed for this whole next month. Just like that. And here's the deal. Like, I was new to that job. People were like, how did you get that? You know, people were scrapping for hours. Because God can change everything in a day. Amen. Right?
Yes.
So you just step and you say, I trust that you'll catch me. And you know what? He always does. So that's what I'm talking about when we talk about faith. A confidence in God that what he says is true, that he can do it, that he is the same yesterday as he is today, that he'll be tomorrow, and he is faithful in the past, he'll be faithful in the future, he'll always catch you. You can trust him. You can trust him with your whole life. And do you know what? That's what God is looking for. Jesus said again and again, he's like, when I return, will I find faith, a confidence and a trust in God? See, it's important that you know the right thing, that you believe the truth. But if that truth doesn't translate into trust, it's just in your head. It's not real. See, believing the right thing is important because to believe the wrong thing will actually erode faith. So that's why you need to believe and know the truth the right way. But it has to produce faith. It has to produce a trust in God. That's how it works. The Bible actually says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. You have to have faith. So here's the deal. You can do good things all you want, but if it's not done in faith where there's a trust and a surrender to God, this idea in your heart that God's going to catch me, if it's not seated in that, you're not pleasing God. You know, do all kinds of good stuff. Way to go. But if it's not grounded in faith, it does not please God. Wow. So faith's a big deal. Faith is foundational for the Christ life. It's how it works. So I say all of that to preface this. When Paul begins his conversation with this real church, real people in Rome that he's never met but he's heard about, the very first thing he says is this. Oh boy, I'm lost there. Can you first, I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. That's the very thing he says to the group in Rome. Isn't that awesome? Your faith. That's what's rippling through all this. And here's the deal, like, there's so much that Paul's going to say, but right off the bat, your faith, your faith, your faith, not your worship services are awesome. Everyone hears about them. It's not saying like, oh, that preacher, you should hear his podcast. Amazing. Everyone knows about it. It's not the good deeds. Oh, I've heard about all. No. Do you know what the reputation is? Your faith. Everyone knows about your faith. Everyone knows that you trust God with all of your heart. You don't lean on your own understanding. And do you know what? We know from history that it was that faith that radically changed Rome. So much the emperor was like, Jews, get out of here. You're messing things up. Right? And it was that faith that led actually to persecution in Rome. And I think it was about 8 years after this book was written that it was government-sanctioned persecution that happened. Because they're like, we got to stop these Christians. They're changing everything. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. It's because of radical faith. You know what faith is? I was thinking about the word, you know a tree by its fruit. You know a tree by its fruit. And Paul is saying, I see the fruit. I see the fruit. I see that you trust God with your whole life, that your faith is lived out. It's not just lip service. I see it and I've heard about it. You know what? Everyone knows. Beloved, I long for this for me, but for us, you know, that we're people of faith. Like, we believe God. We believe God even when it looks impossible. We believe God. We believe he is who he says he is. I love it. So he says, I thank God because of your faith. And then verse 9 says, for God is my witness, who I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing, I mention you always in my prayers. Now, the scripture doesn't say this, but I think part of the reason why the Roman church was so awesome was because Paul was praying. Okay? Now, let's take that back a little bit. You know, like, honestly, beloved, like, without prayer, without the prayer of faith, without intercession, asking God to do the miraculous, nothing gets done in the kingdom of God, right? So Paul here is praying for the church, and that's part of the reason why they have faith. I want to read this quote. This comes from Charles Spurgeon, who was a very famous preacher back in the day. He said, no wonder that they prospered so well when Paul always made mention of them in his prayers. Some churches would prosper better if some of you remembered them more often in prayer. Just saying. I didn't say that. Amazing. That's an invitation to pray. We have to pray. If you want to see God move, you have to pray, because it's past you. It's past all of us. God's the one. So he's praying for them. And then let's move on. Always in prayer, he's asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. He wanted to visit them. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. So he's saying, I want to show up. I want to come to your church, and I want to bless you, church. I want to encourage you. I want to be there so I can speak to you and continue to fuel that fire for the Lord. And I'm excited for what I hear, and I want you to go even further, and I want to be part of your story. I want to encourage you. But look at this, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So this is the Apostle Paul, this man who is courageous, who knows the Lord like no one else. And he was persecuted again and again, was just bold in his faith, wrote most of the New Testament, and he's saying, I want to bless you, but I want to be mutually encouraged by you. That's crazy. The Apostle Paul wants to be encouraged by that church in Rome. How? What do you give a guy like the Apostle Paul? What do you add to his life? Paul, you need to be bold in your faith. Coming from me? I'm in no place to encourage Paul. You know? Like, Paul, let me tell you some things about God that I've learned so I can encourage you in your faith. What does the Church of Rome have to give to Paul? Faith. Paul's like, I want to be encouraged by your faith. I want to encourage you, but do you know how I will be encouraged? By your faith. Isn't that amazing? That really struck me. And you know what? That's true. You know why I love hearing your story and your journey with the Lord? It encourages my faith. Doesn't matter if you know more Bible or life. Are you trusting God with all your heart? That encourages me. See, God leveled the playing field, right? It's not about how smart you are. It's not about what your position is. I think when we're going to be in heaven, we are going to be shocked where the people of faith really were. It doesn't matter if it was the person up front talking. You know what I mean? Faith. It was faith that pleased God. And it was faith that Paul's like, that I want to hear from you too. I'm not just going to, and this, he was going to write Romans to them. Like, how do you add to that? You can't. But he would be blessed by their faith, mutually encouraged. So, beloved, like, this is part of the reason why we gather, and this is part of the reason why we scatter. So as we live this life out, as we follow Jesus together, that we're mutually encouraged. Look at them follow Jesus. I love that. I want to follow Jesus too. Faith spurs on faith, right? when I hear people living in faith, you know what? I want to follow Jesus more. I want to give more of my life to God. Because look at them. I want that. I want what they have. That's awesome. That's how it works, beloved. Mutually encouraged by each other's faith. That's why we have to gather. This is why Jesus is like, okay, go solo, all of you. I'll be with you, but you guys go solo. Change the world. Solo acts. No, that's not how he did it. Say, gather together and scatter and change the world. Gather together, be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Trust in God and go change the world. Right? No one did it by themselves. So that they would be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Go ahead and go to the next verse. I want you to know, brothers, I've often intended to come to you. Okay, verse 14, I'm under no obligation, both to Greeks, barbarians, those are the people who aren't Greeks, both to the wise, to the foolish. He said, I'm going to preach the gospel to everyone. I'm also eager to preach the gospel, the good news to you also who are in Rome. And then the next verse is one of the most famous verses in the Bible. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. Amen. The power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. Amen. So here's this guy who's given his whole life following Jesus. And he is saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Now, I want you to, if you know the story, this guy years earlier was killing Christians because he hated the message. But God transformed his life completely, and he gave his life to him. He, in faith, said yes to the good news of Jesus. And now he's saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to know this is in Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I'm not ashamed of that. Romans 6:23, I'm not ashamed that the wages of my sin, what I get because of my sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed that Jesus left heaven to come down to earth to take care of my sin, to restore this relationship with God. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. For it is the power of God. See, beloved, this isn't just about thinking the right things or knowing what's true. This is the power of God. You see, when we give our lives to Jesus, when we in faith say yes and trust him, we're changed. This isn't just like add Jesus to your life. He transforms you. Paul in another book says that we're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. You see, he didn't come to just make us better. He gave us power to live a new life. Change us completely. You know what's cool in all this is that Rome was big into power. They loved power. They worship power. They honor power. But no one in Rome by their own could become righteous before God. Only Jesus can make you right before God. And that's the beauty and the power of the gospel, that the good news of Jesus, to have faith, to receive that message, is powerful and changes us and puts us in right standing with God. For in it, in the good news, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It's all about faith. It's not just knowing, okay, I know that. It's in faith receiving it. It's saying, I trust you, Daddy, that you'll catch me. that when I surrender my life to you, that you'll catch me. That when I believe that you paid for my sin, that you'll catch me. And it is in that good news that we are made righteous before God. Now, That means that we're made again into a right relationship with God. And it's unbelievable because that righteousness isn't something that you earn. The word is that it's imputed to you, meaning that it is like actually given to you. It is placed upon you. See, here I'm going to read this so that we kind of have understanding. It says, if God justifies a sinner, it doesn't mean that he finds reason to prove that he's right. It's not like it's like, okay, they messed up. They've done some stupid things, but I'm going to prove that it wasn't that bad. So that's not what righteousness is. It's not even that he makes sinful people good. Here's the deal. It means that God treats the sinner as if they had never sinned at all. That's the righteousness that we get from God through faith, is that God looks at us like we never sinned. That's crazy. For in the gospel, the power of God is revealed. Here's the deal. Only God can do that. That's why only the blood of Jesus pays for our sin. See, there's nothing you can do to get access to God. Jesus is the only way. And it wasn't a small victory. It's huge. And I think in heaven, we're just going to have our jaws to the floor when we realize more and more and more what a miracle this was. It's the power of God for salvation. And the righteousness of God is revealed. We see it. From faith, for faith. It's all about faith. Faith is the only way we receive that. So faith starts in salvation, but it carries out to the rest of life. That's why he ends with this, the righteous shall live by faith. The righteous, those who are made righteous, we live by faith. That's our whole life, faith. Faith in salvation, faith in when we walk, faith when we talk, faith throughout our whole life that we trust that he's going to catch us. We wake up in the morning, we're like, Jesus, you're going to catch me today. You're going to catch me today. I surrender my life to you today. You're going to catch me. You're going to carry me. You're going to be with me. The righteous will live by their faith. Beloved, may we be a people who have faith. That we just trust God with our whole lives. That we don't lean on our understanding. That we don't think we can figure it out. But it's all God. We lean fully in on him. And Paul's saying all this stuff, but he's saying it to a people who knew it because they were living it out. They were living it out. And I long for us, for me, to be full of faith, to be full of faith, that the reputation that we have is those people believe God, right? That's it. That's it. Those people believe God. Those people trust the Lord. Wouldn't that be amazing for a reputation, for a church, for you? Can you imagine that? That person believes God. That's a high honor. That's a plaque on the wall. If we're going for a plaque on the wall, it's not going to be in honor of Mark DeMeo. It's going to be full of faith. So much so that everyone knows about it. Amen? Amen. Faith first in salvation. And then from there, faith to trust God with their whole. Amen. Miguel, why don't you come up? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Awesome. Miguel's going to close in worship. And, you know, every time the word of God goes forward, it says that it doesn't return void. Like, it doesn't come back empty. It's powerful. It's the truth. And so as we worship, like, I just encourage you, sit, stand, whatever, but that you just reflect on this. This is unbelievable. This will change your life. And if you would like prayer for anything, whether it's job is hard, life is hard, or if you're like, you know what, I want to take a step of faith, like, I want to be someone who believes God. Maybe it's the first time you've taken that step. If you want to pray for someone, there'll be people in the back to pray for. God, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are faithful, that we can trust you. God, thank you for rescuing us. Thank you for saving us. And God, thank you that you will catch us every time.